CBSI and the World. I'm John Batchelor with Bill Raggio of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. He and his colleagues keep the Long War Journal. Bill is a senior fellow at FDD. And Hussein Haqqani of the Hudson Institute, former ambassador from Pakistan to the United States. Both these gentlemen have been following the war very carefully over the decades. And when I say war, there are too many conflict zones here. So I'm going to go specifically to Afghanistan, because over these last weeks, there is contradictory information coming from the region in distinguished publications. For example, the Wall Street Journal: U.S. military spy agencies differ on threats from Afghanistan militants. Top general sees danger from ISIS-K, that's ISIS in the subcontinent, within 6 months, as others recognize only intention. Bill, I don't ask you to settle this, but it does describe what you and your colleagues have been evidencing for years, that Washington's need to define something as a transnational threat or not has confused the story of intelligence gathering. What is the strength of ISIS-K now in this region? Thank you, Bill.
Oh, yes, John. And there's a good Wall Street Journal article out on this. And I actually agree with the dissenters. General Carrillo, who's the CENTCOM commander, said that the Islamic State could launch a major attack against the U.S. within 6 months. The dissenters say, look, the Islamic State Khorasan province, which is Islamic State in Afghanistan, Pakistan, and the surrounding area, can, they got their hands full with the Taliban. And I agree with the latter. I also think that the problem here in these type of articles is it's missing the forest through the trees here. The Islamic State is a dangerous terrorist group. It's primarily dangerous to Afghans and to the Taliban. The former is bad, the latter is good. But that doesn't mean that the Taliban are our friends. The real threat emanating from Afghanistan is Taliban-controlled Afghanistan and that enduring alliance with al-Qaeda and other terrorist groups. That's the real problem. U.S. officials, defense officials, intelligence officials, since the rise of the Islamic State, and particularly Islamic State Khorasan province in 2015, have said that that's the real threat that comes from Afghanistan. And we focused a lot of energy on the Islamic State at the expense of fighting the Taliban. We actually fought alongside the Taliban in order to defeat the Islamic State in eastern Afghanistan, and viewed the Taliban as a partner, put that word in quotes. That's what U.S. Senior U.S. commanders were saying and during the withdrawal. And that's the real mistake here, John. We don't understand that U.S. at the senior level of U.S. intelligence and defense and policymakers are missing the fact that the Taliban is the real threat. The Islamic State wasn't sheltering Ayman al-Zawahiri. The Taliban was sheltering Ayman al-Zawahiri, the former head of al-Qaeda, in a safe house in Kabul run by the deputy emir of the Taliban, who was also their interior ministry. That is the real problem in Afghanistan, not the Islamic State. That doesn't mean the Islamic State isn't a threat. It's just not this boogeyman that it's made out to be.
And your opinion right now, it is possible that ISIS-K is a transnational threat, but I think the phrase I heard most was, it has its hands full with the Taliban. Ongoing conflict, Bill, throughout the country?
Yeah, that's correct, John. The Taliban controls the state. It has all the U.S. weapons, munitions, bases, fuel that was left behind. It has state sponsorship primarily with Pakistan. It received it from Iran as well. It's developing relations with Russia and China. And the Islamic State, it doesn't play well with others. It doesn't have a state sponsor. It doesn't have allied terrorist groups that can support it. It doesn't have safe haven in Iran or Pakistan. As a matter of fact, it has the opposite. They're enemies of the Islamic State. The Islamic State is isolated. The Taliban is becoming the reality of the situation in Afghanistan.
Mr. Ambassador, I need help now to understand the governance of Pakistan. In an 8-page order seen by The Guardian, this is Guardian reporting at the end of last week, the Election Commission of Pakistan claimed that it, quote, it is not possible to hold and organize the elections honestly, justly, fairly, in a peaceful manner. They're speaking of Punjab, the most populated of all the province. Is this unprecedented, and what is driving this? And is there a remedy? Because without an election, there can be no legitimacy for anyone.
Absolutely. But constitutionally, the election would not have been due until October if Imran Khan had not got his party members to dissolve the assemblies of Punjab and Khyber Pakhtunkhwa, the two provinces that his party controlled. That was his way of getting an early election. The Election Commission was asked to hold provincial elections in Pakistan's history. It has never been able to hold provincial elections separate from national elections because of paucity of resources. It makes more sense for two elections to be held at the same time so that money is not squandered on doing everything twice. Moreover, the census has not yet been completed, and the Election Commission feels that without the census, it cannot do delimitation of constituencies. So the Election Commission is, on the other hand, making what might seem to be legitimate argument, but there is politics behind it as well. The Election Commission is definitely being supportive of the current government. And by saying that the election cannot be held right now, but needs to be postponed until October, what it is saying also is that the Election Commission should not be forced every few years or months by one particular party to suit its calendar. So this is going to go to the Supreme Court, where again, the Supreme Court Chief Justice, who tends to support Imran Khan, has created a bench of only five judges instead of the full court, so that he will have a majority there. So everybody's politicking, country is extremely polarized. Respect for institutions is low. If you are an Imran Khan supporter, you don't like the Election Commission, but you like the Supreme Court. If you are an Imran Khan opponent, you don't like the Election Commission, but you are going to like the Supreme Court, at least when it has a five-member bench, not when the full bench sits, because A, the Chief Justice does not allow that, and if it did, he would be outvoted. It is a bad situation for Pakistan. The solution would be for the political leaders to talk to each other, reach compromises, but that is not happening. And if anything, anger between the various factions and parties is only rising.
Bill, quickly, 30 seconds. Secretary Blinken commenting, saying that the U.S. is working to assist 44 others, including several Americans who have been freed, working to free several Americans detained in Afghanistan. How large is the number, Bill? Everybody puts together dozens or hundreds. 30 seconds.
I believe the number is hundreds, John, but we don't know. The lack of transparency on this issue is stunning, and Congress's lack of interest and lack of grilling the State Department on this is also, I don't have words for that.
Right.
It's we should know this, and we don't, and this is really frustrating, and it just shows that everyone wants Afghanistan to go away.
Dozens, hundreds, trapped, left behind. Bill Raggio, Hussein Haqqani, I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.